Christ has set us free. So live in that freedom. Lift your voice. Clap your hands. Find your joy and set it free. For you are a prisoner no longer.
All right, so tonight we are finishing up. This is our last night of celebrating the 4th of July in January. All month long, we've been talking about freedom and what true freedom looks like and how we can live out true freedom in our lives. And so the first week, we simply said freedom is best lived with the future in mind. Freedom is best lived with the future in mind. Christ took care of the past, and we can look toward the hope of the future and make decisions now that will help us get there where we hope to be in the future and where Christ wants us. And then last week, we simply looked at this idea that freedom is, whoa. Anybody else see that giant bug just fly? I thought it was coming right from my forehead. Freedom is best lived with boundaries in our relationships. And it's okay to set healthy boundaries. And actually, it's a good thing that strengthens our relationships when we set boundaries in our relationships. And so tonight we are finishing up our freedom series. And we are talking about how freedom is best lived being a kingdom worker. All right, so 4th of July, right? I'm about 16 years old. And this 4th of July, my parents had over our entire family. When I say entire family, when I was 16 years old, I had two sets of grandparents that were both alive, and I had multiple aunts and uncles and multiple cousins. And so we had about 15 people over at our house this 4th of July. My youngest cousin was somewhere around probably 7 years old, and my grandparents were somewhere between 65 and 70. And we don't usually shoot off our own fireworks, but for some reason that year, we had some fireworks. And as 16-year-old CJ Mustin, who, as I've told you guys before, I enjoy a good fire and fireworks. Yes, absolutely, right up my alley. I'm pumped to shoot off some fireworks. So at some point in the night, our family gathers around to watch 16-year-old CJ shoot off some fireworks. And I am shooting off. Now, they weren't huge fireworks, but they were like your typical, you know, bottle rockets, maybe some much smaller fireworks, nothing massive by any means. But I am having an absolute blast, pun intended, shooting off these fireworks because they are just awesome, and I'm absolutely loving it. And I go to light this firework. Now, keep in mind, all right, so I'm probably over on this side of the stage. My family of 14 other family members is probably over around that corner of the stage. And I go to light this firework, and I light it, and the fuse starts going. And do you know what happens? The tube holding the firework falls over. And so quickly in my mind, I judge, do I have time to pick up this firework before it shoots and explodes in my face and try to set the tube up? And I'm like, yes. The fuse is just now lit. There's a little bit of time before the fuse gets into the explosive part of the firework, which I don't know the technical term. So I try to set the tube up, and I set the tube up, and I back up really quick to try to run away, and that tube falls, and it is pointing right at my entire family. 7-year-old cousins up to like 13, 14-year-olds. There's like 4 cousins and maybe even 6 cousins and my sister, and then we've got my grandparents that are 65 to 70 years old, all gathered around. And like by the time I got it set up, like the fuse was really close to the actual explosive part. And so I was like, everybody run! And I take off running this direction so the firework didn't blow up in my face. And I'm looking back at my family and I hear, and this firework fires straight at the entire group of family members. And I'm like, oh no. And I watch as my family members just split just in the nick of time. And this firework, poof, right in the wooded area right behind my family members. Now, I obviously am not a great firework shooter offer. Now, there are people that can do these incredible fireworks shows at home, and they can do them safely, and they can have fun doing them, and it can be a great night. I am obviously not one of those people. I love the way that 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 flow together, because 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 are all about kingdom work. 1 Corinthians 12 starts off talking about God and how God, through the Holy Spirit, which the Holy Spirit is not something we talk about a whole lot, but the Holy Spirit is basically an extension of God that lives with us and in us. And so God, through the Holy Spirit, gives these gifts. And he talks about how these gifts are given from God through the Holy Spirit. And he's given us these gifts and these talents and these abilities to go out and use for his kingdom. And I love the fact that God mentions that he has specifically given us gifts. And I think about, as God created us, him picking us up and going, I'm going to put this gift right here inside this person. And oh, she is going to be incredible at this. I'm going to put this gift right here inside this person. And he talks about how that God has given us these gifts and these talents and these abilities. And then he goes on to list some spiritual gifts. And what happens is, in our Christian culture and in our Christian churches, what we have done is we have taken this list of spiritual gifts: wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, performing miracles, prophecy, ability to tell spirits apart, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. We've taken this list, along with a few others from Romans 12, and we said, these are the spiritual gifts. What is your spiritual gift? And you know what happens? I don't know about you guys, but I look at that list right there, and I'm like, I'm not sure where I fit in there. And as a Christian culture, we have said, you got to fit somewhere. Find your gift in this area. And I think a lot of people look at this list and they say, maybe God didn't give me a gift. But the truth is that Paul says, God has given us all gifts. And I love what Paul does next, because he kind of clarifies where he is going and where he has been heading this entire time. Because this is just my own personal thoughts from reading through 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 is this. Paul never intended this to be the full-on complete list of spiritual gifts. Paul never intended this to be the full-on complete list of spiritual gifts. You know what I think Paul did? I think Paul took some things that people in that time that he was writing all those years ago, and he picked out some things that they would connect well with. And he said, here is a sampling of the gifts that God gives. And I think if Paul were writing to us today, that sampling would look drastically different than what it does here. Because I think Paul's entire point is not this list. Because the very next thing that Paul goes on to say is in 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13, is he says, Christ is like the human body. A body is a unit and has many parts, and all of the parts of the body are one body. Even though there are many parts, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Paul is saying here, yeah, here's this sampling of gifts, but you know what the truth is? The truth is every single person is a part of the body of Jesus. And every single part of the body has a vital function. Every single part of the body has an important and vital function. Hear me. You are important. You are valuable. You were created with unique gifts and talents and abilities that God gave specifically to you. And you function as a part of this incredible body where God says, you are important, and I'm using you in incredible, incredible ways. And what happens when we start to look at this list of gifts and we say, these are the gifts, is that people begin to look at that list and they say, I don't fit, so I must not be important. And it's almost like Paul knew that people were going to say, well, I don't fit because I'm not important. And so he goes on to explain this part of the body, and he's like, hey, listen, here's the deal. Like, if every part of the body were an eye, there would be no sense of smell. The eye is important, the nose is important, the foot is important because you have to walk. And he makes it clear in two different ways. He says, one, we should never ever look at ourselves and say, I don't matter because I'm not so-and-so. We should never look at ourselves and say, I don't matter, I'm not important because I don't have the gift of whatever. Because God has given each of us incredible gifts to be used for his kingdom work. We were created with gifts to be used for his kingdom and his kingdom work. Freedom is best lived being a kingdom worker. You guys, what happens when suddenly we start to be able to look at ourselves and say, all right, I am important. I have some gifts. I can use those things for God's kingdom. There's freedom in that. Suddenly it blows open an entire realm that maybe we have never, ever considered before. I like to think of it like this. God took each of us, like I said earlier, and as he created you, he picked you up carefully in his hands. And he said, how am I going to gift Timmy? I think I'm going to give him the gift of athleticism right here. And then he carefully put you down and watched you go and be athletic. And he picked up Aaron and he said, man, how am I going to gift Aaron? You know what? I think I'm going to make him an animator. And he picked up Samuel and he said, man, I'm going to make Samuel super interested in this thing called game theory and give him the ability to discuss that with anybody. And he said, I'm going to make Ava and Elizabeth dancers, and I'm going to give Brinkley incredible book smarts, and I'm going to give Clark and London the ability to crochet, and I'm going to give Tate interest in cryptids and weird facts that no one else knows, and I'm going to give Parker and Case interest in sports and football and the ability to be able to have conversations with people that other people would never be able to have conversations with. And he picked up each and every single one of you and he said, oh man, this is your gift. Man, you want to talk about freedom. How wide open does that bust the gates of what we can do for God's kingdom? When we are free to be kingdom workers. Well, how wide does it bust open the gates of God's kingdom when we say, yeah, I'm Jonathan and I'm really good at yo-yoing and I like to do the yo-yo. Man, I tell you what, a lot of people would say yo-yoing is not a spiritual gift. But here's the deal. Jonathan is going to connect with other people that love the yo-yo that I will never connect with. He is going to have the ability to do kingdom work in their lives that I will never have the ability to do. That probably you guys will never be able to connect with in the way that Jonathan can. You guys, there is freedom in our spiritual gifts. And so many times we limit ourselves and we say, well, you know, it's just fill in the blank. It's just reading. It's just art. It's just, I can't use that for God's kingdom. And God is saying, no. We've limited this too much. Like, that's your spiritual gift. I've given it to you to go out and do kingdom work. And there is freedom there. And you can have freedom. And freedom is best lived when we go out and we do those things with God's kingdom in mind. And I love this because so often we can look at ourselves and say, we're not important. And God says, no, that's not true. But Paul goes on to say that other people don't have the right to look at us and say, well, you're not important because you're just a hand in this body. But the hand is vitally important. The hand allows us to grip things and move things and feed ourselves. It's an important part of the body. And so often I think what has happened is that the church has said, now that's not necessarily a spiritual gift. And Paul specifically says, you cannot say you are less important because I'm an eye and you're a hand. Paul says there are so many gifts available. Now, again, this is just from my own brain from reading through 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. My thought is that Paul is saying this spiritual gift idea can be busted wide open. There are spiritual gifts that we have never, ever, ever considered to be spiritual gifts. But God has gifted you uniquely to do kingdom work with those gifts, to reach people that others will never be able to reach. And there's freedom in that. And then it comes to the question of, okay, so I'm gifted in some things. How do I do kingdom work with those? How do I do kingdom work being who I am and who God created me to be? And this is where 1 Corinthians 13 comes in. Because 1 Corinthians 12 ends like this. I'm going to show you an even better way. Paul has said there's all these gifts, and he goes into this thing where he's like, use your gifts. Here's a gift, use it. Use your gifts and try to hone in those gifts and use those gifts. And then Paul says, all right, how are you going to do that? Let me show you the best way. Let me show you a better way. Because the truth is, we don't just use our gifts for our gift's sake. We don't just play basketball because we love basketball. And there's satisfaction in being good at basketball. There's satisfaction in being a good crocheter. There's satisfaction in being really smart or knowing a whole lot about a certain subject. There's satisfaction in that. And that is a gift, but a better way. Paul says, I'm going to show you how to use that gift, not just for the gift's sake, for the fun that God gave you that gift to enjoy, but for something even greater than just the gift's sake. And then he goes into 1 Corinthians 13. And 1 Corinthians 13 is known as the love chapter. And a lot of people take 1 Corinthians 13 and they pull it out and they set it apart and they say, this is all about love. And as I read through 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, I said, wait a minute, to myself, self, what if we took 1 Corinthians 13 and we put it back in with 1 Corinthians 12? Suddenly, 1 Corinthians 13 is all about kingdom work. It's all about using our gifts for God's kingdom. It's all about the freedom we have to be kingdom workers and how we can best live this free life being a kingdom worker. And he says this in 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. He says, and notice specifically here, the list of spiritual gifts, the sampling that I gave earlier, notice that some of them are in these verses. If I speak in tongues, of human beings and angels, but I don't have love, I'm a clanging gong or a clashing cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all the mysteries and everything else, and if I have such complete faith that I can move mountains, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give away everything that I have and I hand over my own body to feel good about what I've done, but I don't have love, I receive no benefit whatsoever. And then he goes into what love is. Paul is saying this. The heart of kingdom work is all about loving others with the love of Jesus. We go out and we do the things that we're good at. And we go out and we have conversations with people about the things that we're passionate about. And the beauty is that God takes those gifts that we have, and as we use them, he puts other people around us that are also gifted in the same way, that may not know Jesus as well. And suddenly we have a circle of influence with people that other people don't have. And we can say, man, I absolutely love this. And I'm going to show you the love of Jesus in the process of this thing that we both love. And it doesn't look like us going up and saying, Jesus loves you. It just looks like going up and really loving, serving, and caring about people. It just goes to saying, man, you know what? I care about you. And you love them in this complete way that they've never felt. Because love in our culture is selfish. And God's love is a love that is better than any love that they've ever felt before. And there's this writer, Bob Goff, and he says this incredible thing. He says, when you love people with the love of God, you don't have to go to them and say, I'm doing this in the name of Jesus. Because they will recognize that there is something different about the way that you love them. There's something that is a different kind of love that they have never experienced before. Hear me, the heart of kingdom work. The heart of kingdom work is when we take those things that God has gifted us with and we do them. We have a blast with all of our gifts and our talents and our abilities, and we go out and we do those things well. And along the way, we love people. Now, here's the trap we tend to fall into. We tend to fall into this trap of thinking that we have to be something we're not. We tend to fall into this trap of thinking, I have to be good at shooting off fireworks if I'm going to love people for God. I have to be able to put on this incredible show. I have to be able to light up the sky, to do something big. And at the end of the day, I'm not a fireworks shooter. I could tell you multiple stories of how I have failed. You'd think I would learn my lesson by now. I was created to do something else. Don't ever get stuck comparing yourself to other people, because God created you for kingdom work to be who you were created to be. You may be the person that was created to shoot off incredible fireworks shows at home. You may be the person that was created to stand out in the crowd and have a conversation with someone else and show them the love of Jesus. Both are important. Both are vital to the body of Christ. We are free, and freedom is best lived being a kingdom worker. When we go out and we do the things we love, and along the way, we love people with this incredible love of Jesus. We show them a love that they have never experienced before in their lives. That is what will change people. Love is what causes people to rethink things in their lives. Love is what causes people to step closer to Jesus. Love is what causes people to say yes to a relationship with Christ. We could do incredible things, but if we don't love, we failed. So I want to encourage you guys, man, you were gifted. You are important. You are valuable. And God is using you right now with your gifts to go and love the people around you. And so here's the practical challenge this week. The practical challenge is simply this. I want you to make a list of your gifts. What are some things that you're really good at that God has gifted you with? And maybe the things that you have never considered to be from God before. You thought, oh, I'm good at that, but I never thought, hey, God is using that in me. Make a list of your spiritual gifts, the way that God has gifted you. And then begin to look and see, oh, God gifted me here because there's this group of people that I can influence for him. And God gifted me here because there's this group of people that I now have influence with. And he gifted me here so that I could reach this person. And who is it that you can show the love of Christ to? Who is it that you can love with a love that they may have never experienced before because of the way that God has gifted you? Let me pray for you guys. God, thank you so much for kingdom work and for gifts and for the way that you love us. And God, I pray that you would just, that you would just reveal to these students the way that you have gifted them. And that they would go out and they would recognize that it's not just random and it's not just a coincidence that you planned it, that you planned who they were going to be long before they took their first breath. And God, I pray that they would go out and they would use these gifts to love people for you, that they would go out and do kingdom work. In Jesus' name, amen.